Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape.
Guys, I don't know if anyone's told you, but in about 5-6 days, the Georgia Bulldogs will play a real-life college football game inside of Sanford Stadium. It won't be a scrimmage. It won't be some charity event. It won't be a flag football game. It won't be an alumni meetup. It won't be a graduation. There will be a college football game played inside Sanford Stadium with the Georgia Bulldogs. I would just like to take a moment to rejoice for that, Jay Will.
Oh, absolutely. You and I will both be in attendance. Now, I do want to clear the air a little bit because I saw some people asking in our lovely Discord chat over the weekend of, hey, Brooks is going to all these national games. What about the Georgia football games? That's what you guys have always done. That's where you guys always go. No need to worry because Brooks is going to be going to all the national games this year and some Georgia games. Me and Christian are going to be in Athens this season for you at the home games, at the majority of the away games. So don't worry. You're still going to get your Georgia coverage, your live Georgia coverage. You're still going to get your Georgia walk and talk after the football game. So don't worry, guys. We didn't shortchange you on that like Brooks likes to shortchange local hour. We still got people spread across. You know, now that we're kind of rising up the ranks, we also got to do that as well. And Brooks goes national. We stay local. We're just covering all the bases, man.
Hey, we will never turn our backs on the Bulldogs. I grew up a Georgia Bulldog. I graduated from there twice. I will never.
Twice?
I did, dude. I got 2 degrees.
You did.
I will never turn my back on the Georgia Bulldogs. So I'm very happy to be covering that game on Saturday. It will be hot as hell. I will be sweating through whatever pair of khaki shorts I have on. I will probably get a little sunburnt just walking into the stadium, but you know what? It will all be worth it.
Do you think that we need to do what Kirby Smart asked us to do during the press conference
today?
We'll
get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. We do have some important...
I was going to say, we do have some really important news to cover that kind of broke, not right before the show, but a couple of hours before the show, and it kind of came out of nowhere, it seemed like, and I see some people kind of asking about it right now in chat of... what's going on? Who left the defensive line? So Xavier McLeod, or as Brooks has always called him, Xavier McLeod, but Xavier McLeod, no longer with the football team. And at first, when you read that headline, it's, like what happened? Something bad happened.
Right.
From our understanding, and now this isn't us saying that this is sourced by any means or anything like that, but from our understanding, it just kind of sounds like Xavier McLeod decided to end his time as a football player, just decided that, hey, I think I'm good. I think my career is good, and I think I'm just kind of done with the sport. Again, that's just kind of what we have been hearing a little bit. So just kind of want to say also, like, I hope everything's good. It sounds like things are kind of good with both sides, but want to say I hope everything is good with McLeod. Was a very promising player for Georgia coming into this year. Seemed like a guy that was kind of increasing his value to this football team. Certainly. Over the past couple of years since he transferred in from South Carolina. And it's a big loss, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of looked around and you were like, wow, Xavier McLeod's one of the most experienced players in this defensive line room. He's been one of the more consistent players in this defensive line room, and they was expected to have a really, really strong season in 2026 and kind of be that next great defensive lineman that's going to be drafted in the NFL. So the fact that he will not be continuing his football career is sad. The fact that he will not be playing for Georgia on Saturdays is even more sad. So, you know, we wish him the best as whatever's going on. I don't think we can exactly confirm.
Yeah.
What we're hearing is that it's retired. What we're hearing is that, you know, he's stepping away from the program. I don't think that there was anything ill going on. We haven't had any confirmation of any of that, so don't want to rise any rumors or anything like that.
Yeah, but we don't want to spread misinformation or speculate or anything like that, so we're just going to leave it at that. But let's talk about the next step in this conversation, which is, what does this mean for Georgia?
Yeah.
What does not having him on the roster now mean for Georgia? Number one, thank goodness you have Elijah Griffin, and thank goodness Elijah Griffin is who he is, because that's going to be the star of the defensive line this year. That's no secret. That's no new revelation now that McLeod is no longer on the roster. Like, everybody knew Elijah Griffin was going to be a dude for this football team this year, but it's certainly good to have him now, because if this happened last year, I think it feels a lot more impactful not knowing yet who Elijah Griffin is and kind of not knowing some other guys in the defensive line room. But speaking of that, That means now that Jordan Hall and Joshua Horton more than likely are going to have to take an uptick in snaps. Now, hopefully Jordan Hall can do that because he had an injury last season, missed a lot of time due to a leg injury, I believe it was. And we'll see if he's healthy and ready to go at the beginning of the year. But yeah. Joshua Horton probably is the biggest guy to look at right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you, Valton Sony's even another name that you want to throw out there. And like every like whenever something goes down, and obviously when a player goes down to an injury, and we'll see, he's not on the roster anymore. When a player leaves the roster, you need everyone around that to step up. Now, luckily, Georgia has plenty of talented names in that defensive line room. It's not 2021-esque, but there's plenty of names to pick up the slack. But it becomes that much more important that they do pick up the slack. You, like you said, Josh Horton can't really have a down year now because mm-hmm. it's not, well, if Josh Horton doesn't have a down year, at least we have Xavier McCloud. You know, Jordan Hall, he cannot keep, like, he has to be able to stay healthy. So mm-hmm. stuff like that becomes that much more imperative. And also, we're days away from the season beginning. It's not like this happened in the spring. It's not like this happened in fall camp. And not to comment on the timing of Xavier's decision, but, like, we haven't had, there's no time to kind of build up and develop another guy to take that no. spot. Like, that spot is empty now. You'd find other ways to fill it that aren't going to be necessarily just, oh, plug this guy in and play him.
Yeah, it's almost one of become now one of the most important things to pay attention to on Saturday is that interior defensive line and yeah. who is taking on those snaps. Like I said, if Jordan Hall is healthy, I would imagine he's going to be the guy that's getting the bulk of the snaps, followed by a guy like Joshua Horton, Nnamdi Ogboko, probably a name to watch as well.
Certainly.
Nasir Johnson. We'll see what he can do. J.J. Hane kind of floats around at multiple positions on mm-hmm. the defensive line. They use him a little differently. Maybe he plays a little bit interior, but I would really look at a guy like Nnamdi Ogboko, who Nnamdi Ogboko and Nasir Johnson would be the two that I pay attention to the most because this even with McCloud on the roster, we were talking about those two players being like, this is the season where it kind of needs to happen. This is the year where one of these football players needs to insert themselves into the rotation and get some valuable snaps this year. So those are the two guys that I'd really be paying attention to.
Yeah, I mean, it can correct me if I'm wrong. This is how I kind of saw it. Xavier McCloud was looked at as the, okay, this is the guy that we know we're going to get with Xavier McCloud. He's reliable. This is his third year in the program. He's a senior in college football. Like, he's a veteran that we know what we're going to get with him. We need everyone else around him to step up. That veteran presence and that consistency is now gone. So you need everyone to not only step up, but there also has to be consistency. We can't keep having flash players anymore. There can't be flashes from, my God, Nnamdi Ogboko looked unstoppable for these three plays. Then the other seven snaps he took, he was just kind of, you know, lost floating around. Like, everyone has to be up their consistency even more than flash. Like, I would much rather a guy like Valenzone or Josh Horton or Jordan Hall not flash as much and just rely, like, provide solid three techs.
Yeah, I mean, Joshua Horton, in my opinion, last year was one of the more under-the-radar consistent football players on the defensive line. Now, I know his snaps were kind of limited because of a guy by the name of Christian Miller, then the emergence of Elijah Griffin and other guys in that room. But when he was on the field, I thought he played pretty sound football, and that's kind of all you need from that position this year. Because of who Elijah Griffin is, he's going to be getting all the attention. Quintavious Johnson's going to be getting a bunch of attention. Gabe Harris is going to be getting a bunch of attention. So if you can just get a consistent piece right beside Elijah Griffin every snap, you're going to be all right. You don't need this guy to be a world beater. You don't need him to be the flashiest player on the defense. You don't need a Jordan Davis type of season from this guy. You just need him to play sound technique football.
No, and I think the final thing we can take away from this is, like, the depth you think you have is never quite the depth you have. Like, there's always, like, I remember after the spring game, we looked around, we're like, man, running back room is stacked right now. Man, the defensive line looks really stacked right now. They're going to have guys on the edge. And without even a game even being played, you've lost Xavier McCloud. You've lost Maris Williams. And then you've lost Dante Dowdell.
Yeah.
So the depth that you think you have is never that. And hopefully that you don't continue having injuries or things like this happen. But never feel certain with the depth you have.
Absolutely. You got anything else you want to add on to that conversation? Okay. We do want to close that with just, again, saying hope everything is good with McCloud. Hope that he's in a good headspace. Hope everything is good there.
Certainly.
But, yeah, just kind of wanted to give an update on that, what we know, and things you should be paying attention to. So now that defensive line is something you should definitely be paying attention to when Georgia plays Tennessee State this weekend.
Oh. You know, we got an actual game week presser from Kirby Smart from Georgia playing Tennessee State this weekend. And boy,
it was filled with a lot of respect, wasn't it?
I don't even know how I classify it. The best I can say is, in the best way possible, it's a Kirby Smart masterclass. Not in the way of he came and he talked for 15 minutes and said absolutely nothing. In the way of he came and he gave us another just soundbite banger that's going to be give us something to laugh at. So I was not at the pressers today. Brooks was.
However, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
See, Brooks didn't forget about you guys. He didn't forget about the Georgia fans. He's still showing up when he can.
That's right. So I've recapped the pressers. However, I would be lying if I said I was there in person for these moments. However, I've watched all them and heard secondhand stories from Brooks. So I will start off with Kirby Smart opens the presser with, you know, his typical, we're excited to play another team that's other than ourselves. We've been itching to get the season started. Mm-hmm. The only way you can really get better is you got to play other people. You get in sort of a rhythm going against the guys you know. As talented as they are, you do need some of that. I don't know what this player is like. I don't know his tendencies. Things such as that. It's what's accomplished in practice that a game can't, or a game, what is accomplished in a game that practice can't? The environment. Coaches aren't on the field with you. Reactions in game settings. When you mess up in practice, it's, you know, next rep, whatever. When you mess up in a game, it's momentum. You feel the weight
of
that.
There's legitimate consequences to these actions now.
Exactly, exactly. So how do you respond to that? He then talks about Bo Walker. He's got really good vision. He's low to the ground. Say what he lacks in speed, he makes up in vision. And I think that was the perfect way to categorize Dejon Edwards, in my opinion. Mm. Dejon Edwards, not a top-end burner, was never going to pull away from the secondary. But, man, he had some of the best ball carrier vision when he had the rock in his hands. So that's promising to hear from Bo Walker. Next player I heard from was Nate Frazier. His biggest step is leadership. He's becoming more of a weapon in the passing game as well, working on trying to be a third down back when it comes to blocking and receiving. Mm. So that's a big one. Next, we get the ultimate banger of Curry bangers, and this is what I'm referencing. Mark Weiser. If you don't know Mark Weiser, he's one of our good friends. We sit next to him sometimes in the booth.
It's funny. I only laugh because, like, that's how we talk about Mark Weiser. Mark Weiser probably wouldn't talk about us that way, and that's not because, like, he doesn't acknowledge us or anything like that, but it's just because, I don't know, you think it's kind of a one-sided thing?
I don't think Mark Weiser knows that we are best friends
that
with
we appreciate
Weiser.
Him.
I would say, I don't think Mark Weiser knows we're best friends with Mark Weiser. Yeah. I think that's the way it is. Love Mark Weiser.
If you want a little background story, Christian and I had the opportunity to sit next to Mark for one of the football games.
It was a Florida game last year.
And it was just a great experience. Like, Mark was just dropping great one-liners after plays and things like that. Like, he was just a good hang that day, and we appreciated it.
And when he's typically a fairly quiet and reserved person. Yeah. So he does excellent work, so go check him out. Mark Weiser asked Kirby Smart, hey, you know, it's supposed to be really hot on Saturday. It's supposed to get up to 96 degrees. We know about Georgia humidity. What are you expecting? How are your players ready for this? And I'm sure if you have Twitter, you've seen this clip already. But Kirby Smart essentially goes, you know, it's something we practice for. We try to make sure our guys consistently stay in these temperatures, yada, yada, yada. And he kind of makes a jab at the players or at the media. He goes, you know, we'll see how our players go. I'd like to see how you guys, the media, go. Come on, get out of that AC. To which Mark Weiser sarcastically responds, oh, are you going to give us sideline passes, coach? Which, if you know anything about a Kirby Smart press, you're like, getting a sarcastic jab back at Coach Smart, like, people will look at you like, this is the last time I'll ever see you in this media room. You're going to die after you leave this building. So
it's like when someone talks back to the teacher and you're like, oh, you got another one in? Like, you're still going?
Like, yeah,
it's
kind of what it's like no, Mark, no. So Mark Weiser asked that question, and Kirby Smart goes, yeah, I'll give you sideline passes, but you got to wear the 25 pounds of pads and all the gear. then makes a joke about how it'd be a lot like the NFL players coming back, except you'd be a lot slower and a lot older, to which the entire media room at this point is.
And I love the long pause of, you'd be a lot slower and older.
Yeah.
Like, it was just perfect comedic timing from Kirby.
Which then puts the image in my head of Mark Weiser in full pads in a helmet with his notepad taking notes and writing articles. It's a hilarious sight to see. Maybe not for, like, the typical fan, but as someone who's worked on this beat for a while.
Isn't there anybody on the beat that could put on a Georgia football uniform and kind of look like that they would belong?
Honestly, I think you could pull it off. You're tall. You've got the height.
I'm a little too lanky, like skinny though. Like, arms wise, yeah. I'm certainly not built.
Too small. Like, I could not. Like either way. Like, if you or me put pads on, I feel like it would be like maybe a walk on, maybe one of those guys.
Like,
but there's no one on that beat that puts on aside from Shock.
Like,
who I don't.
Oh, that's
who,
a good one. Which, that makes sense.
Doesn't count. He played actually.
Ooh. Here's a good one. Ben Wolk, only if he cannot wear the helmet and just wear the hair down.
Oh, dude.
It would look kind of glorious, I think.
Ben Wolk would look.
Like, he'd be like the walk-on of, like, that dude rocks. Yeah. I don't know who he is, like, but that dude
know,
rocks.
That, I don't know that guy. But
I feel like if I put on a Georgia football uniform, like, and maybe this isn't synonymous for every high school football team, but I feel like every high school football team just has the one absurdly tall white kid that looks like he probably can't really play football, but he's still out there and he plays wide receiver, but he really doesn't play. I feel like that's what I would look like because I'd have no drip whatsoever. Like, yeah. I just, that's not me. I was never that as a basketball player. I would look like a stock football player and it would look horrendous.
If I was out on the field and was out there, like, it would be, and this is exactly what it would be. It would be like, oh, that's the walk on that just never knew when to
Mekhi get. Muse back on the team?
No, I'm not that short. It would be like, oh, there's the walk on that just never knew when to give up on his dream. Like, he's like, he was so determined to
Whose
be.
Whose coach's kid is that?
Yeah, I'd be wearing, like, no disrespect to whoever's wearing this number. I'd be wearing, like, number 48. I'd be on the side. I wouldn't have a ounce of sweat on my body from the game. So, anyways, yeah, that was the fun moment from the presser today. Kirby Smart inviting Mark Weiser on the sidelines and anyone else from the beat, so long as they wear pads. Next, we got Chase Linton, talked about that. Said he's a great kid who comes from a great family. Talked about the opposing QB from Tennessee State. Said he's very smooth and hard to tackle. Understands what they are trying to do as an offense. So, QB sounds like a little bit of a playmaker. We'll go down his stat sheet later in the episode. So, watch out for that. Might be something to pay attention to. Justin Williams we got later in that day. So, typically, if you're going to get a player, one of the beat members will ask, hey, what are your thoughts on said player? Justin Williams is one high-character individual. He was high-character whenever we met him. Always smiling and laughing, which, if you know anything about Justin Williams, completely accurate. Displays FPE. So, all classifications of Justin Williams that I completely agree with. Asked how technology has changed conditioning. You know, back in the days, it was just keep running and we're doing everything. Nowadays, they have a much more a detailed system of, we want to make sure that our guys are putting out their max output. If they're not at certain times, we want to make sure. Like, there's a whole system that goes into that in analytics. Basically, the answer is it's changed it a lot. What does he want to see out of the wide receiver group? I don't know if you listened in. What was the answer to this, you think?
Execution.
Yeah. Not passes, not deep shots, not catching. Execution.
Yep.
And he said that, I want to see that all across the field. I want to see that for the defensive line. I want to see that for the offensive line. He named every position group.
Of course he did.
That's what he wants to see on Saturday, which, you know, I can't say I blame him. What is the importance of live reps? Says you can't say that live reps are more valuable than scrimmage reps, but he puts value into everything we do. That was kind of interesting because we always hear about, man, there's nothing like playing it live. There's nothing like playing it live. There's nothing like playing it live. But he also very clearly values scrimmage reps just as much, maybe if not more, and even mentioned, like, we can only scrimmage so many times, so the value of them becomes even more increased. So it's, well, interesting.
And not to do this thing, but, I mean, even in scrimmages, like, while it's great to play somebody that is not your own football team, and it certainly provides some answers about your team, Georgia is playing better football players than they will on Saturday when they are scrimmaging themselves. Like, you're getting a better look at your players probably in those moments. From a talent perspective of, like, good on good, like, ones versus ones, than you will on Saturday.
Final note I have on this, and this is kind of, I guess, the final mic drop for this moment. Obviously, what's going on at LSU, what's going on with some of these other programs bringing back NFL players is a hot topic issue. Coach Smart was asked about that, of like, hey, you know, is there any idea you guys are toying with this? And his answer was very simple. We are set with what we got. So don't look to Georgia to add any NFL players. Don't look to Georgia to join in with LSU. It seems like what they have on the roster right now will be whoever is on the roster come the end of the season. So,
good to know.
No NFL players, Georgia. So that concludes the Kirby Smart edition of this presser. Next, we had Nate Frazier, which, by the way, I don't know who organized the pressers today, but we got a jovial and joking Kirby Smart, and what I would argue is two of the best interviews on the football team. Nate Frazier and Justin Williams, two guys that give you plenty of personality, give you plenty to talk about, are fun to talk to, and also at the same time are very good at being media trained. Nate Frazier and Justin Williams don't say things that make you go, oh my God, that's going to be a headline, but they also don't say things where it's like, Give me something, man. Give me something to at least be entertained by. Nate Frazier, fantastic interview. The first question he's asked about, how did your dog do in fall camp?
And this is a callback to last year when he was asked about, he talked about getting a new dog, yep, and it was just pissing everywhere, all over his stuff. I believe it's a French bulldog named Tank.
Yes, yeah, yes. I believe so. So, you know, big question for Nate. How did the dog do? He said he, I think he did better than me. He kind of made a joke of, I guess he went on a good rant about how he's the only one that he acts up poorly for and makes mistakes for. Apparently the person who was babysitting him and looking after him said that he was behaved very well. So Nate Frazier and his dog have some beef, apparently. Building on last year, you know, closing out the season, Nate Frazier was a really strong runner. I think that some people would say start of the season had some issues. He said it's just about mindset, being able to get into the zone when you need to and all things like that. Where does his work ethic come from? That was an interesting one of always something like, hey, you know, Nate, you've got a great work ethic. Where does that come from? Where is that instilled? So he learned it from his mother. So, you know, he also just, his mom used to work extremely hard growing up. And he also looks at great people who are great in sports. I think he mentioned Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, some other guys like that. So the classic of, you know, you get inspired by other people who have fantastic work ethics. Was asked about Chauncey Bowen's number change, which was interesting. He said that he was very hurt by this because Nate was 3, Chauncey was 33. They were kind of all 3. So, but said, you know, he looks good in 5. And, you know, he did at the end of the day, he wanted to change his number. Nothing crazy. How has this team been supportive? Obviously, I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but Nate lost his father earlier in this offseason, or even maybe it was at the tail end of last season. I can't remember.
It was somewhere in the offseason.
It's been within the last calendar year, so that was obviously a very hard time for him, but talked about how that's part of the reason why he loves this place so much, is how supportive everyone around him has been. They care about you. They don't let you walk around the facility with your head down. So very good to hear that the team is supportive on and off the field. Again, just a fantastic environment to be in. Wanted to reiterate that. Was asked about Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel retiring and how he, you know, looks to carry on that legacy. And he kind of stopped and was like, first off, I'm glad to even be mentioned in the same vein as those running backs. Like, very obviously respects and understands the legendary status that comes with those players and is honored to be put in the same breath of them. He just wants to take into consideration that there's life outside of football. I think that was his biggest takeaway from them retiring.
Are we starting to get into the age of college football players not really having watched Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel?
It's coming, J-Will.
Because I was going to say, like, when Nick Chubb first started playing football, I was 12.
I was 12, too.
So I don't know how old Nate is, but that would make him probably around 9 or something like that. So, like, and he's a junior on the roster. So
we're getting to.
I'm just kind of aging myself right now because that was one of those were my childhood players for the most part.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I'm glad that Georgia running backs that commit to the University of Georgia talk about watching Nick Chubb and watching Sony Michel and Todd Gurley. I feel like that's going to get a little distant here in a little bit.
We're about 2 or 3 recruiting cycles away from, oh, I remember watching their NFL highlights, or I remember hearing about them. The same way that, honestly, you and I talk about Reggie Bush. Like, I know Reggie Bush. I know about his NFL career. I watched a good part of his NFL career.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really conscious for what he was doing in Heisman levels. So, yeah, I agree. We are unfortunately entering an era of time when people look around and go, yeah, I don't really know. I know about Nick Chubb. I know about Sonny Michel, but I didn't really watch him. Like, ask Nate Frazier what he thinks of No'Shawn Marino or what he remembers about watching him growing up. The answer is he won't remember much. So, mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. Getting old sucks. I'm sure there's people in this chat right now that remember, you know, the days of Garrison Hurst or Musa Smith and being like, oh, how do you guys not remember that? So I guess we're just getting old, J-Lo.
No, we're not. We can't be sitting here like that, okay? We can't be doing that. Now continue. No more harping on our age.
What does UGA mean to him? Was the next question he was asked. It's a blessing to put in work and be able to make it all worth it. He talked about how the practices, the weight training sessions, everything is all worth it on Saturday when you hear the thousands of screaming fans and you get to be in that environment and be in that fan base and feel the love of that fan base. So it's great to know that there's people out there that also genuinely enjoy the experiences that come on Saturdays. I think that's kind of lost a little bit in college football. I think the professionalization of college sports, like, you don't hear many people talk about, like, man, When I play in New York or on Soldier Field or somewhere else like that, like, you just feel the passion of that. It's more of a business. It's more of an interaction.
Sure.
There's still lots of passion to be had in college football, but I think Nate Frazier perfectly exemplifies that. And then the final question he was asked, what are some of your personal goals this year? First thing he said was, I don't really worry about my personal goals. Handling team goals will help me handle those personal goals. But he doesn't want to underestimate any team. He doesn't want to treat Tennessee State any differently than he'd treat Alabama and vice versa. So
And this is what you're getting at when you say we get the personality with Nate Frazier, but you still get the stock Georgia football player answers.
Certainly. Certainly. And I mean, that's the perfect example of that, to where it's entertaining. You're captivated by it. It's not one sentence answer. It's not like, oh, this person's been brainwashed. Nate Frazier talking to you still feels very much like Nate Frazier, even if the answers are kind of fed to him through training. So that concludes the Nate Frazier portion of the interview. Next, we got Justin Williams. And Justin Williams didn't give us as much. I think they had a little less time, but still gave us some good question first. Where does the energy and smile come from? And I mean, it's obvious. If you know anything about Justin Williams, I've said this before, he has the best smile on the team. Might have the best, I don't know, Zachariah Branch was also.
This isn't my bag, so you can ISO this one.
Best smile on this year's roster.
Okay.
Far and away.
I'll take your word for it.
Contagious, infectious, just a great dude. Says it's the person he strives to be. Like, he wants to be smiling. He wants to be respectful. And by the way, he loves football. When you're doing what you love, you tend to smile a lot. So that's pretty good. He's a product of Texas high school football. For those of you who don't know, he's a Texas-born player. He was asked about, hey, you know, what's the difference between Texas and Georgia Heat right now? I said, I used to think the Texas Heat was a lot hotter. I was wrong. And then you got a good laugh out of that. So Georgia Heat is no joke. It is one of the – I literally was outside for 5 minutes today, and it was 85. I was in the shade, and my forehead already started sweating. The humidity is the worst here. So Georgia Heat is no joke. Where can you get better in game was his next question. Speed of the game cannot be compared to practice. And I think that's something that was interesting. Like, he's a guy that's had a ton of practice reps, obviously. Game reps, not nearly as much. You can't recreate that game speed, that, okay, get up, make another play, feel the weight, and feel the urgency of it. I think that's something that you really can't replicate in practice. So,
oh,
yeah,
for sure.
Makes sense. This one was interesting, and obviously it wasn't kind of twisted the same way, but caught my attention. His year three legacy, you know, going into year three, what are some things you want to be able to do? What are some things your recruiting class is looking to do? We always talk about the year three bump for Glenn Schumann linebackers. We think Justin Williams is going to have one of those, but looking at and saying, okay, maybe we'll get a year three. His answer was very different in that we want to go win a national championship. The class, my recruiting class, is not concerned with personal achievement. And again, this goes into the, hey, you've kind of gotten the Kirby Smart media training.
We know
what
you're
going through. So very team first, very team oriented, worrying about that. If you focus on achieving the team goals, the individual goals will come next. And then this last thing that I'll take away from this. He was asked about who the baddest guy on the defense was. Bass is just in like, man, that's just the junkyard dog. First answer he gives is Gabe Harris. Gabe Harris because of his mentality. Mm-hmm. He's one of the toughest guys. And I think it was Glenn Schumann a while ago that talked about Gabe Harris of like, yeah, we actually had to like bench Gabe Harris last year with his foot injury because he was going to do more damage to himself. I think the exact quote was he had to protect Gabe from Gabe.
Yeah.
And then he gives Chris Cole a shout as well. Chris Cole's strength is amazing. Always seems to find himself in the backfield. So that concludes the Kirby Smart, Justin Williams, and Nate Frazier press conference notes from Tennessee State.
Always got to love the first presser of the year when it's game week. And it's also, you usually tend to get a bit more from the players and from Kirby a little bit when there's actual opponents to talk about. It's not the same questions that we get every single week of who showed out this week or things like that. Mm-hmm. So always good to hear.
And it's also, you can feel the excitement in that.
Yeah.
Like you could, I was not in the room. You can feel the excitement of the room of like, we're finally back to college football. When you get to like week six or seven and you're getting ready for, you know, a road trip to Auburn, you've already played five games. Like you're much more locked in. You're much more focused. You're much more in the flow of the season. Week one comes around, you're like, it's back. I can feel it. You can see that in the players. You saw that in Kirby. Like, Kirby Smart is very obviously excited to play football on Saturday. So that concludes our press conference notes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Tennessee State. Now, we're going to do more Georgia talk. We're not going to actually really preview Tennessee State all that much. Although,
before we do that, Jim.
Oh, yes.
I would.
We have business to tend to.
I would like to give a quick shout out to our friends over at SeatGeek. Before I do that, I'm going to grab the mouse and
You're going to do that?
Will you fill air for me, please?
I will happily do that, yes. We have business to tend to. Kirby is currently doing the job that I would typically be doing before we do this and throwing those lovely graphics up on the screen for you guys to make sure that we do this ad read properly, even though most of the time it seems like we don't do ad reads properly, but Kirby's going to give his best shot at it right now.
He's written on the back side of this note, by the way. We love our friends over at SeatGeek. Would like to give a quick shout out to our friends at SeatGeek. It is the number one ticketing app. It is the number one rated ticketing app in the world. They have over 35 million downloads. Do you know how many that is? That's 35. A million. That's 35 millions. So a lot of people doing that. There's over 70,000 live events listed on SeatGeek, anywhere from NFL to NBA to concerts. Doesn't have to be college football, despite the fact that that's probably what you want to do right now. We don't have the capabilities to show the interface, but if you've watched this show before, you understand how good the interface is. They have a rating system for your deals. And by the way, they have a Film Guy code right now where you can use to get 10% off. If you use Film Guy 10, you'll get 10% off your next set of tickets. That is any tickets with promo code Film Guy 10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you to our friends over at SeatGeek.
Great job. Very professional. We love our friends over at SeatGeek. And if, like we said, usually we throw the app up on the screen for you guys to see, but we couldn't do that today because we are a man down. But do it yourself. Go check out the app. Make sure you pick up some football tickets for this lovely college football season. And speaking of that, Georgia versus Tennessee State. Now, like I mentioned, not going to be talking a whole lot about Tennessee State, not out of disrespect for them, but just because Georgia is the main opponent to talk about here. This is the local hour after all. But I will say the little information I do know about Tennessee State, Eddie George was the former head coach, is now at Bowling Green. They That's have a new right. head coach now. I believe the new head coach, his name is skipping my mind right now. I want to say, let me actually I had it pulled up. Reggie Barlow, and the previous job he held was the DC Defenders head coach in the UFL. So there you go. A little background information about Tennessee State. You look like you're about to say something.
No, let's. I don't want to disrespect that league.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it at that then. Yeah. So, what are some players we, or who are some players, I should say, we can learn the most about in this week one matchup, Kirby?
And when we say this, Georgia players.
Yes, Georgia players.
Like, we're not going to walk away from this going, man, Daylon Lee, who's, by the way, that's the quarterback's name for Tennessee State. We'll get to that in a second. We're not going to walk away going, man, that Daylon Lee, he's special. I can't wait to watch him this season. We're not going to blow smoke up. You know, we're focusing on Georgia. Like you said, Jay Will, Georgia is Georgia's biggest opponent this week. I feel like there's a handful of players we're going to learn a lot about. The first one, we'll get this one out of the way easy. Gunnar Stockton. What does Gunnar Stockton look like progressively? How much has he grown from the Marshall game last year to the Tennessee State game last year? I feel like there's some questions around Gunnar Stockton. I feel like you know what to expect as far as what the game looks like, as far as what he looks like as a player. What are the nuances that Gunnar Stockton has added to his game? What are some other things that he's added to his arsenal that we'll be able to see in the first half, maybe three quarters? So that's what I'm going to say we can learn a lot about. I don't think we're going to learn anything about, like, man, Gunnar Stockton's completely changed his play style, but we'll learn about the nuances.
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout-out to Zakai Helton right here because it sounds like he's going to be in the starting lineup for Georgia on Saturday. He's going to be running out there with the first group of offensive linemen, but I really just want to talk about the offensive line as a whole right now because – throughout the offseason, we've just been hearing a lot of good things about this offensive line. Like, might be one of the most talented groups that Kirby Smart has had during his time. Sounds like they're going to be very dominant, one of the best units that Georgia has. And I know that it is Tennessee State, but I feel like you get a good grasp of just how good an offensive line is in games like this if they just walk out there and dominate. Like, if it just looks boring to them, if it just looks easy for the entirety of the game. Like, if you're just running the ball at will, if nobody's getting in the backfield, Gunnar Stockton has time all day. Those are the things that I really want to pay attention to because we know that the run game is going to be an anchor of this offense. Like, that's certainly. We've harped on that quite a bit this offseason because of the talent that they have in the room. Gunnar Stockton adds into that as well. Just how easy is it for them on Saturday? Like, are they able to just really kind of cruise their way to a dominant win? One thing that I'm really going to be paying attention to.
Yeah, I think that this isn't necessarily what we learn about a specific player, but right. The amount of times Nate, Chauncey, Dwight, but whoever's carrying the ball is hit before they get to the line of scrimmage is going to be a major catch for how that offensive line performed. Another player I think we can learn a lot about, any wide receiver. With the exception of London Humphreys, I feel like we kind of have an understanding of what London Humphreys is going to be for Georgia this year. What does Isaiah Kanyon look like? What does Kobe White-Helton look like? What does C.J. Wiley? What does Craig Dangerous look like? Like, all of these players, we don't really know anything about. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn maybe not everything about them. I don't think that there's enough opportunities this game for them to showcase the entire room. But there's going to be a lot of opportunities to go, okay, so this is what we can like kind of expect from Craig Danger this year. Okay, this is what Taylan Taylor is looking like. Like, stuff like that, what do we learn about that part of the room? I think that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Well, in games like this, especially for the wide receiver room, you truly get to kind of figure out who your difference makers are going to be. Like, it was easy to pick up early on that Zachariah Branch was going to be a difference maker for this offense. It was easy to tell that early on in the season that Elias Williams was going to provide mismatches for this offense. And, like, Colby Young had a good start to the season last year as well. You really figure out, like, who's the go-to guy in critical downs. Like, a guy like Sakovi White-Helton, like, is he going to be one of these yak guys for Georgia this year? Is he going to be able to make guys miss? Is he going to be able to pick up yards after the catch with ease? Is he going to be able to take a ball from behind the line of scrimmage and turn it into a 10-yard gain? Things like that. I think that's what you truly find out when it comes to your wide receiver room in a game against Tennessee State, because we know that the talent discrepancy between these two rosters is there, and you have to take everything with a grain of salt. But you do get to kind of figure out, like, who are the actual dudes? How are they being used? Like, who are the shot guys? Who are the deep threats? Who are the short area quickness guys? Things like that. I think you'll certainly get a good look at that. Sticking with the offensive side of the ball, I know we talked about Nate and Chauncey a little bit when you were doing the press conference, but Bo Walker, I think, is a name certainly that everybody's kind of intrigued to see on Saturday, because I think Nate and Chauncey, they're going to get their fair share of carries on Saturdays, but I think it's going to be pretty quick that we turn into Bo Walker and the other guys on the roster behind him. A lot of good things have been said about Bo Walker throughout fall camp and throughout the offseason. Got to see a bit of him last year in some cleanup time, and he's going to serve a critical role on this football team as a third running back on the roster. He's going to get a good amount of carries, and I would imagine that he's going to be very critical in the second half of these football games as well. Just, have we evolved a little bit as a football player? Like, we kind of got to see him pick up the dirty yards. Like, he's kind of known for picking up, just always making it a positive gain no matter what. But do we see some explosiveness from him? Like, truly, like, what are all the facets of his game? That's another thing that we can really learn this weekend.
Yeah, and I think you can also learn not just about the player himself, but the role he's kind of going to play. Like, losing Dante Dowdell for what we expect to be a significant period of time kind of opened up. And even then, we didn't really know, like, who's the third and short back? Who's the guy that when you need someone to fall forward for an extra yard, who is that going to be? Not that Nate or Chauncey can't be that, but that role has traditionally been reserved for a specific player. So maybe Bo Walker can be that. Maybe we'll see what that role looks like for him. Maybe we find out who the true RB3 is in this situation. So yeah, there's a lot to learn, not just about Bo Walker as a player, but I think as the role that he will play this season, because it has certainly gotten increased with the loss of Dante Dowdell. So
I see some people asking in chat, hey, where's Brooks? If you're just now tuning in, Brooks is currently driving up to Nashville right now. He's going to do some hits with the guys at On 3 tomorrow, so he's going to be in studio with them at their headquarters. So he's driving up doing some team play with them. So don't worry, he'll be back tomorrow, but had to cut the show short for him tonight. But don't worry, me and Christian still keeping things alive over here on a Monday during game week.
We're talking dogs, guys.
Talking dogs.
We're still here.
During the local hour.
Brooks will be back. Don't worry. Do you not like us? What's going on?
I don't think that was a sentiment.
All right. I've said any wide receiver, and this one kind of is in the similar vein, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there as well. We're going to learn a lot about safety blank. Jamarlee Riddle, Zion Branch, Kyron Jones, like, name any of those guys that are going to that position. We're going to learn a lot about that. We're going to learn about their play styles. We're going to learn about kind of who might be swimming in that fire and who might be kind of burning up quickly. Like, they always throw these guys out to the wolves quickly, see who swims or sinks. It's going to be a clear indication. And I would bet to say, and I'm not going to say who, I don't have a projection for who, but there's going to be a play or two on Saturday where we go, it's probably the last time we'll see him in for a while. And then that's just the way it is. That's unfortunate. There will probably be a couple of plays where we go, my God, he needs to be on the field more. Mm-hmm. That's how that safety position has worked over the last few years. That's how they've always handled these position battles, especially in the back end, whether it be corners, whether it be safeties, whether it be nickel, even though nickel's kind of an interesting position. Like, they throw a guy out there. If it doesn't work, they go, all right, that didn't work. We need to put another guy out there and see what works. So
yeah, and kind of tag teaming off of that one, I'd also be paying attention to the third cornerback because we know DeMello and Ellis are going to be great football players for Georgia this year. And it sounds like Braylon Conley is going to be the third cornerback in this room. But Jonte Gilbert looked really good in the spring. He played really well in the absence of DeMello and Ellis for the spring game. just kind of seeing like who's actually going to lock that one down. I would imagine it's still somewhat of an ongoing battle into the season, and it's a great opportunity, like you said, to just throw a guy out there, see who sinks, see who swims, who's making plays, who's in the right position, who's not making costly penalties, things like that. So really interested to watch Jonte Gilbert and Braylon Conley ball out this weekend, or get their opportunities, I should say, this weekend, and see if like Braylon Conley actually is going to lock down that cornerback three spot.
Yeah, absolutely. What other ones do you have? Because I've got two more, I think.
I think we three would more. Be dismissed a little bit if we didn't mention Kaden Prothrow in this conversation.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's been one of the emerging stars on this roster, a former five-star heading into this season. Looked really good in the spring game. And not that we have to remind people, but, I mean, this is a guy that was recruited as a tight end, but it really sounds like he's going to be making an impact as a wide receiver. It sounds like they're going to be trying to draw up some mismatch opportunities for him in the slot. Really paying attention to how he is used. Seems like he's going to be a great red zone threat for them. Just a big, tall body that you can put in the end zone, and it's a big target for Gunnar Stockton to hit in some critical moments. So seeing if his emergence as a true freshman continues on Saturday, because – just like last year, I mean, Ethan Barbour was one of these players offensively where it didn't take long in a room with Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp. It didn't take long for Ethan Barbour to get thrown out there and was getting a lot of playing time. And unfortunately, his season was kind of dwindled due to an injury. But I would imagine Kaden Prothrow is thrown out into the offense rather quickly on Saturday.
Certainly. And I think that it's also going to be something, again, this kind of goes to the Bo Walker. Kaden Prothrow is listed as a tight end. People say he's one of these blossoming tight end recruits. Everything we hear is he's going to be coming out of the slot. He's going to be kind of a receiver. Like, you're going to have an interesting dynamic with what do you view him as? Is he a tight end on the field? Is it a wide receiver? Like, how does that change your counts as a defense? So we're going to learn a lot about how defenses cover Kaden Prothrow as well. But I'm very excited to see just what this freshman has in store, because you're right. The murmurings and the rumors have been, hey, this guy is killing it this year. This guy is going to have a role significantly. So absolutely, we're going to learn a lot about Kaden Prothrow. This one I have a caveat on, and then there's an asterisk. Oh. We're going to learn about Sakobe Whitehelton.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a wide receiver, as a returner.
Yeah.
What this, is he reliable? Is he going to be someone where it's like, hey, we might have a couple opportunities for explosives this year? We've seen him return punts before. He's never been the primary guy. He's never been the primary kick returner. I feel like we're going to learn a good bit about that on Saturday, because Lord willing, there will be a lot of punts on the Tennessee side.
Yeah, you'll probably get a look at multiple guys returning punts on Saturday. If I would, like, I'm sure Landon Roldan will get some opportunities, if I had to guess. Maybe some London Humphreys action. Sakovi certainly will be in that mix. Maybe you see some Tyreek Green as a punt returner, and that's another guy that certainly belongs in this conversation of just where the heck is he going to play? How early is he on the field? Where is Georgia? Like I just said, where is Georgia playing him? Because Kirby kind of alluded to him playing where they feel like they're not good enough. We'll just play him wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that he's probably mostly playing safety. Maybe he's coming in for Khalil Barnes at the star position. And that also leads into Rayshon Dinkins. I kind of hate how – I shouldn't say I hate it, but it's a good thing that Georgia has a lot of good bodies in the safety room. And they have a lot – it seems like they have a lot of guys that they can play. But I was so in love with how Rayshon Dinkins played last season at the tail end when he was – really getting a good amount of burn when Jonel Aguero went down with an injury. And it seemed like he was going to be a big factor on this defense. And now it's kind of like, where is he going to fit in? Where is he going to play? When is he? Like, think questions like that. Really curious to see if that continues for him. I'm sure he'll still be on the field, and I'm sure he'll still be a contributing factor for them defensively. But just kind of want to see what his role in his second year at Georgia looks like now that there are some really good football players at his same position.
Absolutely. And it was one where we were kind of surprised to hear that through the offseason. Like, I feel like when the season ended and we went through and did our roster check, we're like, okay, this is who you know is going to be a commodity. Mm-hmm. Rayshon Dinkins was like, yep, he's going to fit somewhere. He's going to be the star. He's going to be a safety. Wherever it is, he's starting.
I mean, when Jonel Aguero transferred, it was like, well, yeah, Rayshon Dinkins is the guy there now.
Rayshon Dinkins took his spot.
And then it's, oh, Khalil Barnes is here. Oh, Jamarlee Riddle's here. Oh, Zion Branch is back. Hey, Kyron Jones, he's healthy now. Oh, this Tyreek Green guy, he's really good. Like, I mean, all of a sudden, there's so many names to list off there, and Rayshon Dinkins is certainly in the fold, but we know K.J. Bolton has that other spot, and he's not coming off the field, so there's only so many guys you can give snaps to.
Yeah, and I think for that matter, Khalil Barnes is also a name to throw out there as someone you're going to learn a lot about because of this. Like, that is a, hey, you're on your island out here type of position. It's not corner, you're not a safety, it's the hybrid, it's the nickel position, for those of you who don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how he plays on the ball. How does he play screen games? How does he play the run? How does he play vertical passing game? I think that turning and running has always been a fear with Georgia Nichols. So can Khalil Barnes do that? Now, obviously, he's got plenty of tape. He's got plenty of experiences. He's a three-year starter at Clemson before this. So there's not going to be a lot of learning about the football player Khalil Barnes. But as far as the style and the way he's going to fit in this defense and the role he's going to have, you're going to learn a lot about that.
Yeah. Now, we certainly have to talk about the backup quarterback situation.
Yep.
Heard a lot of things about the backup quarterbacks, especially if you're over on Patreon, patreon.com/BrooksAustin. If you're not in Discord, if you're not over there and you're listening to the Local Hour, you should definitely be over there, especially as football season ramps up and it starts up this week. It's a good community to join. Always a lot of banter over there on game days and throughout the season. And you get a little bit of intel, or I should say a lot of intel, about your favorite football team. So do that. But heard some rumblings about Ryan Puglisi, heard some rumblings about Ryan Montgomery, and Hezekiah Millender certainly has inserted himself into this. I think Ryan Puglisi is certainly going to be the first guy off the bench when Gunnar Stockton ultimately gets to put his helmet down on the bench and watch from the sidelines. I'm sure Ryan Montgomery will get some action. Really curious to see if Hezekiah Millender sees the field on Saturday, because that has been kind of the emerging name, if you will, out of this quarterback battle. Not saying that he's going to be the second string quarterback by this end of the season, but he's certainly a guy that's earned some respect and is like, hey, don't just write that guy off. Don't write him off just because, oh, we got him from Clark Central right down the road and we picked him up late. Like, seems like there might be something there. Just how many quarterbacks do we see on Saturday? What do we see from them? I think this will be a critical time this week and next week when they play Western Kentucky of really getting some answers, hopefully, about the quarterback position.
You said something that kind of triggered me a little bit. Take helmet off and put it on the bench. I don't know if this is something that pertains to anyone else, but when I was playing, like, no matter what, you kept your helmet on. And that was, I remember always being like, dude, I'm hot. Like, we're winning right now. Please, just let me take my helmet off. Like, you got in trouble if it wasn't buttoned at practice. Mm. So
I feel like quarterbacks kind of are in a separate conversation. Like, hey, you're in the right to go ahead and sit on the bench because we're up by so much. Put the ball cap on or whatever.
We've been on the sidelines. Like, yeah. There's guys not wearing their helmets.
For sure.
Like, there's guys that they come off and they unbutton their shoulder pads. Like, it's happened before. So yeah. But you're right. Like, we're going to learn a ton about all those guys. And I think that, unfortunately for them, you're probably going to get kind of an answer as to who is the two at that point, at least anointed by the fan base of, God forbid someone has a bad game or a bad throw. It's like, he's not the answer. We need to see so-and-so. He's our two. They're going to kind of anoint a quarterback too from that.
Honestly, that'll probably be the biggest talking point that everybody is running towards on Twitter for Saturday's football game. Is there's going to be a lot of great freshmen that play. There's going to be a lot of players that play on Saturday, but the main conversation will likely be, how did Ryan Puglisi play? How did Ryan Montgomery play? And which one is your favorite? And who is actually the number two quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Final name I have on this list: Justin Williams. Justin Williams has been kind of a role player the last two seasons. He's entering his third season now. It's kind of a, hey, year three jump off. I don't know if he's going to be consistently starting on the field, because you got Raylan Wilson, you've got Chris Cole that obviously are going to occupy a lot of snaps. But Justin Williams is going to have the biggest role in this defense that he's had in his career. And I'll be interested to see how he handles that, not only from a play standpoint, but can he kind of step up from a vocal leadership standpoint? He's got the personality. He's got the charisma. He's got the characteristics to be that. CJ Allen leaving this defense obviously leaves a huge void in that. So figuring out who can be that next vocal leader is going to be interesting. I want to see if Justin Williams can do it.
All right, I'm going to hit some super chubs right quick before we transition to our next segment. I can't find it on my screen. I guess I don't have the power to do it on my account on YouTube, even though I'm an admin in the chat. But I do know that Dolphin gave $5 super chubbed earlier and said, glad Jay Will is going to be covering the dogs this season. Classic. You know, just an ongoing bit, unfortunately, for you, Kirby, in the chat.
Right.
But thank you,
it's
Dolphin.
Right,
we appreciate that. Another one. This one comes from Reality Witness. I want to see Beef and Buddha slinging it Saturday. Already getting a little inkling of
Beef and Buddha. That's an incredible duo for those two players.
Might be the future of the quarterback room right there, Beef and Buddha.
I'm going to be honest, guys. Probably not going to see a lot of Beef on Saturday.
Probably not.
That's QB5.
Yeah, you should honestly be hoping that you don't see much of Beef this year.
And I'm going to say this now. I am high on Bryson Beaver. I think that there is a world where in a few years he is your starter. I will say this right now. If Bryson Beaver is attempting a pass during the 2026 college football season for the Georgia Bulldogs, something has gone catastrophically wrong. That means you are on QB 5 and like, yeah, let this guy throw passes. So just saying, Bryson Beaver is going to be great for Georgia. I hope he does not see the field this year.
Fair enough. This comes from Southern Dog. Give me some bold predictions about the Dogs game this weekend. Prothro gets his first touchdown as a Dog. I like that one. We just talked about Caden Prothro.
You know what? I'll go ahead and give one, too. We have a non-offensive touchdown. That's my prediction. Whether it's a punt return or a scoop and score, an interception, non-offensive touchdown for the Dogs in the season opener.
And it wouldn't be our community without giving a shout-out to Coulter Ginn as well in the QB conversation.
Shout-out to Coulter Ginn.
So absolutely shout-out to Coulter Ginn. Now, we got an intriguing conversation from a former beloved Georgia quarterback.
Before we get to that, I do want to shed some light on these Tennessee State players tonight.
Do we?
Because, like, look, we said it. There's not a ton of analysis to do here. Like, we understand that this is an outmatched program. I do want to give a quick shout-out to Daylon Lee, the quarterback, who had a pretty strong game. 256 yards through the air in their last game. They actually played Saturday in a loss. And then wide receiver Jaden Guy, 9 receptions for 148 yards. So that might provide a really good opportunity for a DeMello Jones or an Ellis Robinson, or even some of those third string guys like Braylon Conley, like cornerback 3, where, hey, here's a guy that's really talented that obviously can get lots of production that also might not be a NFL killer. So I think that's just someone to shout out to. Those two players.
You've had the camera on me this whole time. I just realized that.
Ah, you know. We're a bit
rusty. I just looked down and I was like, why am I on camera right now just staring at my laptop?
Sometimes
screen.
The buttons don't always go. Ah, my fault, guys. Anyways, Daylon Lee and Jaden Guy, two guys that I think you all probably learn and hear a lot of on the Tennessee State game. How they can affect Georgia, to what degree they affect Georgia, will be interesting. So,
well, thank you for that debrief on the Tennessee
and the extra
State
screen
football.
Time for you. I got
thank you. Just me looking oblivious. So.
I mean, I look just as oblivious because of that. I haven't had one of those mistakes in a while.
You haven't. Not for that long, at least. Usually, you're pretty quick fixing
Honestly, it's because, like, when I'm talking to it, I'm not focused.
Oh, I do it all. Like, when you're not here and I'm having to run cameras, I do it all the time where I forget to switch cameras. So, it's very easy to do. But usually, you're on top of your game over there. But
I'm slacking, guys.
We're just going to brush over it. It's all right. We're not going to harp on it too much. Now, am I allowed to bring this topic up now?
I permit it.
Oh, you permit it. Kirby's running the show, apparently. Even though I'm in the big man chair, Kirby's running the show over there. So I listen to you. You're in command. But Aaron Murray had a very interesting take. Now, all things considered, you could understand why he gave this take.
Of course.
It's not like, whoa, what the heck is Aaron Murray smoking given this take? It's if you can know the context and you understand it. But he said that the 2012 Georgia team would beat the 2021 Georgia football team. Now, of course, Aaron Murray was a major part on that 2012 Georgia team. Some say in an expanded playoff, they would have won the national title that year. I think certainly everybody would agree that they would have beaten Notre Dame in the national championship had they gotten there. But Georgia fell just a little bit short in 2012, while 2021 Georgia took it home and they won the Natty against Alabama. Initial thoughts on that?
Obviously, the initial thoughts are, Murray, what are we talking about here? That's one of the best defenses in college football history. Gave up only 10 points a game, ran the table in the regular season, won the national championship, did something that no Georgia fan could ever imagine. And then I started thinking about it more and diving deep into it. And you tell me this. I will never discredit anything that 2021 roster did. There is a unique asterisk there because we did watch a roster put up 30-plus points on that defense.
We did.
Like 30-plus points. It was 41, but there was a pick six. It was a 30-point outing for Alabama. And then I start thinking even more. If the 2012 roster played the 2021 roster, is it unfair to say that would be the most talented offense that Georgia team faced that season?
Yeah, I would say so. That Alabama roster was pretty talented. That offensively speaking, they're pretty freaking good.
Certainly. One of the best, though. And here's the thing. If the Alabama roster is what we're comparing to the 2012 Georgia roster, that Alabama roster did put 30 points on Georgia. And yes, they got held to 18 another week before, just beforehand, and the 18 was generous because that touchdown, I think, was given to them. But There is a world where I see Aaron Murray and Todd Gurley and Keith Marshall and Malcolm Mitchell and all the players that were on that roster surprising Georgia for a 30.9. Now, here's the side of that that I don't necessarily know, and this is what might get 2012 Georgia in some deep waters. That was a very hot and cold defense.
Mm-hmm.
One day we're holding the number two Florida Gators to 9 points. The next we're giving up 35 to South Carolina. Or
oh yeah,
we're getting torched on the back end by Amari Cooper. Or we're letting them run through our face in the SEC championship. But there was also a lot of, hey, that team can't score any points. Like, I think Tennessee put 40 points on that defense's head. So I think what would probably happen is if there is a world where 2012 Georgia can score 25 points on that Georgia roster, I think it depends on what Todd Grantham defense shows up, because we saw suffocating Todd Grantham defenses. We saw the blitzes working. And let's be honest, you had a Stetson Bennett quarterback that was not nearly as polished as he was. That was protected a lot by a good scheme and a good defense and offensive line. I could fathom 2012 Georgia beating 2021 Georgia. I think if those two teams played 100 times, 2021 Georgia probably wins 80 of them. But there are plenty of avenues for 2012 Georgia to win that game. Am I crazy?
I don't think it's as lopsided as it initially sounds. I mean, but I just like, and this is with every comparison that anyone does of this team would beat 2021 Georgia. I mean, guys, I don't know anybody that's going to have much success against that defensive line. I just truly don't. Against that Correct. Defense in general, but against that front, that defensive front that Georgia had that year and the linebackers, I mean, it was diabolical. And now, the one thing that I will give credit to here and makes it a little interesting is this is 2021 Stetson. This is not Heisman Correct. Finalist Stetson Bennett.
Correct.
But, like, in this scenario, is George Pickens healthy?
See, that's where we're getting
into. Is it postseason George Pickens? Is that what we're getting?
Yeah, well, we're getting a nuance.
We're getting, like, natty Georgia football roster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, still has Brock Bowers. Still has Ladd McConkey. Still has a really good offensive line.
Oh, look. They're going to have a hell of a time stopping the 21 roster. Maybe you slow them down. If 2012 Georgia is winning that game, they're winning it 28-24. And it's because they forced two turnovers. Like, that's how you win it. But that's a possibility. Like, we saw that happen. So,
look, I don't think it's as crazy like as it initially sounds. Like, Todd Gurley, as we all say, is a generational running back. Even though it's true freshman Todd Gurley, like, that was one of the best players in the country.
It was true freshman Brock Bowers was still Brock Bowers. True freshman Todd Gurley was still Todd. Oh, by the way, 100%. It's a completely healthy Keith Marshall too, who
it's true
at the time was also one of the best running backs.
People ever. Were higher on him than they were Todd Gurley coming out of high school.
Exactly.
Just saying, but yeah, I mean, I think it'd be closer, but at the end of the day, it ultimately boils down to what version of the 2012 defense do you get? Like, are you getting the one that put up, like, allows 35 points? Because I'll tell you what, I don't know that Georgia's offense that season in 2012 would score 35 points against that Georgia defense.
But also, like, at the end of the day, what kind of quarterback would you be if you were asked, like, hey, would the team you led to its own to an SEC championship appearance, would that team be able to beat the national championship team? And you go, oh, no. Me and my teammates weren't good enough to do that. Like, we make jokes, and Aaron Murray is, like, kind of given that, you know, pretty boy persona, I think, unfairly by a lot of people. Aaron Murray is a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Murray absolutely would take his 2012 team into battle.
Oh, yeah.
With the 21 Georgia roster. And he would think he could win that game, and I believe in him. So I get the sentiment from Murray from an analytical standpoint, from breaking it down, from having watched every single game of both of those teams multiple times. I'm picking 21 Georgia, but I don't think he's crazy.
You know, picking 2012. Part of me does think, though, that 2012 defense, because, like, you're taking them from that era and implanting them in 2021. I think it's kind of safe to say that 2012 defense is pissing down their leg watching Brock Bowers warm up. There was not a tight end. There was not a single tight end like Brock Bowers in that era.
Now, here's what I'm also saying. You're disrespecting the 2012 defense a lot because there were some absolute dogs.
I'm not disrespecting them.
Sean Williams was a dog.
Yeah, they were dogs, Christian.
Was a dog. Jarvis Jones was a dog.
Christian, I'm not disrespecting them. I'm giving my flowers to Brock Bowers at this moment because, like I said, there was no tight end like Brock Bowers in 2012. Like, they would be seeing that for the first time in their life.
Certainly. Totally understandable. I get it. Look, I get it. I'm still picking 21, but, like, I don't want to disrespect the 2012
roster. I think Ogletree locks up Brock, to be honest.
I don't know about that. I don't know about all that.
I don't know.
But, no, I mean, some dogs on that 2012
defense. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a fun hypothetical.
Damian Swan, a very up-and-down cornerback, but when he was up, bro. Now, there were some down times where it's like, why is he on the field right now?
Yeah.
I think that concludes our show, J-Will.
It sure does. And don't worry, guys. Brooks is going to be back tomorrow. This is just a little bit of a Brooks hiatus on the show because he's got some business to tend to. I don't know that this is going to be a regular thing, but he'll be here the rest of the week as far as I know. So thank you guys for sticking with us. Thank you guys for listening. And before you leave, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't already. Until then, we will see you tomorrow to continue our talk about Week 1 college football. We'll see you later.
I guess I need to hit the
button. Hit the stop recording. Then you got to count to 6 and then hit end broadcast. Can you do that for me?